Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Wit, Wisdom and Pratfalls with me, Joan Ellis, and my super special guest, just fresh from the fringe, Laura Claire Reed. Welcome, Laura.
Hiya.
Hi. Now, Laura is the self-confessed unbearded half of the Ventnor Darlings. So do you want to explain that?
Well, it's true, I do not have a beard. I'm in a duo called the Ventnor Darlings, myself and my singing partner Matt Hitt, who has the most glorious beard you have ever seen, and I do not have one.
Matt had the beard before it was fashionable.
He definitely had the beard before it was fashionable. He definitely did, and it must be quite frustrating to see so many men with beards now kind of hopping on the bandwagon.
Yeah.
However, because he's, you know, put the time and effort into his, I think it's got a lot more integrity.
A beard with integrity.
It really does.
I like that. So just glancing at him, you can tell that.
You know that's an established beard.
Okie dokie. Okie dokie. Do you think now that everybody's sort of played catch up and it's become a bit of the norm, do you think he might shave it off?
I don't think so. No. I think we're in for the long haul.
Okay. Because you've seen him without a beard, haven't you?
I have seen him without a beard, yes.
And?
He's got a lovely face.
Yeah, I'm got a chin. A lot
he
of men.
He does have. He's got a lovely chin.
A lot of
chin.
Men with beards.
I think
chins.
I'm just so used to him with a beard now. It was a bit like, did you ever have it? I remember once my dad grew a beard and he shaved it off, and it really freaked me out when I was a kid.
Yes,
I think that's what would probably happen.
Yes, one of my friends did exactly the same. He turned up at my girlfriend's doorstep, and she just screamed and shut the door in his face because it was not Roger. It was not the Roger
that's
we know
face.
And love. So, but I think because you've known him probably pre-shaving, haven't you? You knew him at school.
Yes.
So tell us how this sort of lovely pairing came about.
Well, we've known each other since high school. We both went to Medina High School. I'm proud of it. And I moved to the island when I was 13 and was signed up to bassoon lessons. I'm not sure how. I don't remember asking. But anyway, I started bassoon lessons and he was the only other person learning the bassoon, so we met over bassoon lessons.
Most people learn the recorder, don't they?
I know, yeah. It would be a lot easier to carry. I was so little, I think, because quite like a little 13-year-old, I had to like sit on the neck strap because if it put it around my neck, like I'd fall over.
Oh, I see. So that's probably why it was never going to work.
It was never going to work, no. And I didn't like it.
Whose idea was the bassoon? Just
I think it was my dad's. You know, I'm always up for learning a new instrument.
A loving father.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I can play a couple of instruments because of him.
No.
But yeah, Matt and I met then, and we also were involved in Saturday morning music school that used to run at Medina as well, which was a fantastic program. It was amazing, and both of us got so much out of it. But I was never as good as he was at various instruments. But anyway, we both come from a classical background. We've been friends since high school. And we both always talked about doing something musical together. But we just both didn't know what. We've got some common musical interests. We've got other ones that are far, far different. He's an incredibly well-trained classical musician across several instruments. And I've been playing in bands. So there's a bit of a disparity there in terms of like I'm not technically as good as him, but I've been used to performing. So 2 years ago, Ventnor Fringe, we decided to write a show called The Ventnor Darlings, a one-off show about a band that wrote all these songs that you know but never got credited for them.
Okay, so I think when we were talking earlier you said this was a bit of a joke.
It was a joke, yeah. It was we just wanted to write a show, take funny photos. We did like a PowerPoint presentation. Had like some of our friends got involved to be like special guests, like Benny Curtis hosted it, which is amazing. Hannah George came on as like the other woman.
Fantastic. Yeah.
And she's very tall in heels. Very tall in heels, intimidating. Dan Trevenna played like the new music producer. It was a really, really fun show, but it was meant to be a one-off. And then a couple of months later, we were asked to play a Christmas do, and then we realised that people thought we were a band.
People thought you were real.
Yeah.
Because you were sort of sending it all the notion up, really, weren't
you? The whole idea is we were a fake band.
Yeah.
We don't know what we're doing. We're a fake band. And then people started booking us.
But and also, for those people that perhaps haven't seen your work, your style is very eccentric, isn't it? The look you've created, the personas on stage.
Yes, yeah.
They're very different. So they're not your average band.
No.
Or classical artists.
We're playing up. So in the original show, the whole idea was that Matt was like this this musician, I'm going to use that word again, with so much integrity, and was really into like the quality of the music and didn't want the fame. Right. And then the idea was that I was all about the fame and couldn't care less about the music.
Brilliant, yeah.
So that was meant to be the characters in the first show. And then since then, you don't want to say, it's just they're just slightly augmented versions of ourselves. Like,
if you know what I mean. So much often the best comedy is, isn't it?
Like, I really like performing. I really like having a chat with the crowd. And Matt really likes, he loves performing as well, but he's very much about the music and getting it right. And so, yeah, we've toned down the original characters, but they are still a little bit there.
Okay, because I'd love to see, you know, having seen you quite recently and now heard the backstory, I'd love to see that show. So is that something you'd reprise?
We could look at doing it again. We'd do it better. It was a lot of fun to write, but we were even doing rewrites 2 hours before performing it.
Yeah.
Because it was one of those shows where it was just, it kept on developing, and then we were going, no, that's not funny. That's funny. And we put in about 10 cover songs into it, kind of loosely tied together with this idea that, you know, like we broke up in the 70s and he went off and did some experimental avant-garde stuff like with poetry, and I started writing music for films. And yeah, we could maybe look at it again.
Yeah, I'd love to see it.
The structure's there. It could happen, maybe.
So for those people that haven't seen you guys, do you just want to talk, because I know you were picked out as one of the fringe fashionistas, and quite rightly so. So do you want to just sort of paint a little bit of a picture for those people listening who can just picture then up on stage, the pair of you?
Okay, so Matt and I are fans of dressing up and have always been. So the Vent of Darlings was an excuse to start buying clothes.
Outrageous, vintage, big clothes,
time. Yeah. We've got a couple of looks. Our go-to looks. One of them is all gold.
Right.
He's got a gold sequin suit with a gold shirt.
Okay.
And gold trousers. And I've
purloined
got,
from,
I think eBay.
Okay.
And the internet. It's quite hard to find full gold suits on the Isle of Wight.
Yes.
There's a lack.
But not impossible, I would
say. It's not impossible. I think, you know, in a charity shop somewhere, there's one
that
waiting
exists
for us.
Yeah.
And then he's really good at finding me these great dresses, like this full length kind of like evening gown with like a big train and like a lace at the back, and it's just gold sequins.
Wonderful.
So that's one look. We've started doing a look which is all the patterns. So each item of clothing has to be a totally different pattern and very gaudy.
Right.
I think what else? I want to experiment with a kind of like a boho chic look, because we've both got turtlenecks, so I think we could do like a all blacked out turtlenecks, just wear sunglasses and not smile.
Right.
I think that's a look I'd quite like to try.
Okay. And do your looks reflect your music?
A little bit. They're silly.
Yeah.
And we like it to be theatrical.
Yes.
So we do cover songs, and we do them in our style, which is piano based. So for example, we're big fans of the song Wrecking Ball by Miley Cyrus. It's just such a tune. You don't have to particularly like her music. Listen to that song. That's almost a perfect pop song.
Right.
But we'd like to do it, but how are we going to do it? So I do it in the style of Julie Andrews.
Oh, that sounds very...
And it actually lends itself quite well.
Maybe we can get a little bit of that later. I'm liking that. I'm liking Julie in the room with Miley. Yeah, loving that.
And
Julie Andrews aware of this?
I don't think she is, no. It came out of the fact that I was trying to find a way of singing it that didn't sound anything like Miley, and my go-to was just to sort of do it in Julie Andrews' voice. And it's quite a dramatic song as well. What else do we do? We really encourage sing-alongs. It's a big part of what we do. So we try and get songs that people know, that are part of like the public consciousness, whether you like it or not, that you probably know the chorus to this.
Yeah.
And I'm a big believer in you know, singing along in a pub, round the piano. That's what doesn't happen enough anymore. Karaoke's okay, but I think a proper good old-fashioned sing-along doesn't happen enough. So it was something that we wanted to encourage. So one of our go-to songs, which I think has kind of become our anthem, bizarrely, is Africa by Toto.
Right.
And it's just, people love that song. Like, once it gets to like the chorus, like people just like, I bless the rains down in Africa. Like, people really love it.
Yeah.
So that's been a bit of a delight, that people want to sing along with us as well.
Yeah, that's a massive compliment, isn't it?
Because
it's very Freddie Mercury style-y, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, 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 definitely.
Yeah.
And there is a very warm, pleasing feeling when everybody's singing along with you.
And then if you forget the words, it doesn't really matter, does it?
It's or I can just shut up.
Yeah, exactly. Over to you guys. Nice. Could you say, I know it's a different Toto, but you say your actual dress style is, to quote you, sequins, decadence and Toto. Presumably that's...
the band, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, yeah.
Not the dog out of...
Not the dog. Big fan, but not the dog, no. We haven't tried animal outfits yet.
I was thinking kind of more Wizard of Oz glittery, because you're very all about the glitter, aren't you?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, sequins everywhere, sequins and glitter everywhere. I think they just make people happy. Well, I hope they do. Maybe they're making them sick. I don't know, but it makes us feel very happy.
Yeah.
And it's such a simple... It's not like you're wearing something ridiculous. You could be wearing a jacket and a pair of trousers, but all of a sudden, if they're sequined, all of a sudden it's like, wow!
You're on the next level, aren't you?
Next level. It's just a jacket and a pair of trousers.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's weird.
No, and I think if you're on stage, you know, showbiz,
yeah,
you want a bit of glamour, don't you?
That's definitely it. You kind of... it's not till I look at photos afterwards I'm just like, yeah, sequins were a good choice, just because they reflect the light and they've got movement to them as well. So you kind of automatically, like, it's good if people are paying attention to you because you're singing great, but then you can also force them by wearing a jacket that's reflecting light off their eyes. That helps as well.
Yeah, lovely. But when I've seen you, you've always looked... I don't know, you both look amazing, you know.
Thank
so your
you.
Eyes can completely attract it to the stage, and then, you know, so it's a big... it's a perfect package, isn't it? Because you know what you're doing, you produce great music, the crowd, you know, you've got a massive fan base, and then you both look so eccentrically brilliant.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I love that kind of old... it's kind of old school glamour, isn't it?
Yes.
Because I haven't seen the gold sequin look, which I think is slightly different to what I've seen you doing, but yours is almost like sort of very... what I've seen, very refined manor house parlour.
Yes, yeah, yeah, know. That's another thing that we're big... you know, we're both big fans of period dramas.
Yes.
And part of that, I think, is fashion and style. And both of us have always been into vintage as well. I think it's that idea of anything can be decadent. You don't have to have an occasion. You don't have to have a party to get that, you know, to get a certain dress out or a certain jacket out.
No.
That you can get in from work, put on something nice and make yourself a nice drink.
Exactly.
And
a cocktail.
A cocktail, you know, a generic lager if you want, in a nice glass. But that you can make decadence happen, like, all the time.
Yes.
And on a massive budget as well, because we've, you know, we've gone through times of being absolutely skint and we've managed to pull off lovely eccentric parties on virtually nothing. Just
yes,
with a bit of imagination.
Exactly, that's what it's all about. Because you were quoted as in the Ventnor Fringe paper, newspaper, as saying your look on the day, which was a burgundy sequined gown,
yes,
worn by Laura, as washed up in Las Vegas realness.
Yes, yes.
Which I particularly liked.
I like, yes, it's the... I really like the idea of also of like... a little bit of faded glory, do you know what I mean? You don't want it to be... oh, we like looking a little... like not being 100% together.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes, like, yes, yes.
Like, I don't really brush my hair that much, for example.
Yes, you have got that sort of like a maiden aunt look, but very young and beautiful, but that sort of kind of slightly lost the plot.
Yes, yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
Not in reality. Don't talk to me about anything that's really happening.
Yeah.
There's no normality here. But I'm going to take you into my world, which is far better than the one everybody's currently residing in. Yeah.
I think there can be... I like the idea of some poise. There can be some grace and poise, that if it's 100%, you're just going to intimidate an audience.
Yes.
They're not going to relate to you. And bear in mind, we like playing festivals, and that's usually to kind of like lovely drunk people who just want to have a good time. So you don't want to be... I don't know, you don't want to distance yourself from them. So I like the idea of wearing a lot of sequins, looking almost 100% like we know what we're doing, but maintaining that anything could still happen.
Yeah, I kind of live my life, you know. I realise that if I've got something new, which is very rare because I'm kind of the queen of the charity shops, but if I have something new and it's all pressed and pristine and marvellous, it won't be long before I've put a nick in it or marked it, and then I'm like, oh, that's fine, I'm flawed now, even more flawed, you know. My clothes are as flawed as I am, so that's... I can't do that perfect.
I think it's more relaxing. I feel a lot more relaxed.
Yes, I can't do that symmetrical look.
No, not yet.
Yeah, I used to work in an office in London, and they were all the women were, you know, the fringe and the symmetrical haircut, mm-hmm, and everything. Yeah, and I was just sort of... I had that kind of scrunched hair, everything all over the place, and the boss, she just used that, the look, just seeing me used to grate on her looking like...
that. And then I went and got my hair done this particular day, different hairdresser, and she did the kind of thing, just the straight look with the bob, and I felt awful. Mm-hmm. And she was like, oh, Joan, you're one of us. You know, nothing. No, I'm not. You know, put my hair under that hand dryer and just get it all.
That's a phrase you don't. It's not nice to hear.
Because I love your kind of your quote here that says you'll never explore the world of normcore.
No. Normcore looks great on people, and I'm a big fan of it. Like it can be quite chic. Do you know what? I'm not sure if everybody will know what normcore is.
Well, you tell us your definition.
Normcore is a way of dressing which has become quite popular, I think, in the last, like, year, 2 years, which is kind of basically wearing really, really boring clothes, but they're slightly tailored. So it could be a pair of, like black suit trousers, mm-hmm. a little bit baggy, and a baggy grey sweatshirt.
Right.
But somehow, I think it helps if, like, you're tall and beautiful and angular, but some people, like, just make it look really graceful and really,
yes,
like, effortless.
I can imagine.
I think I tried normcore for a week, so I was like, well, I've got a grey t-shirt and a pair of white trousers. I think I can do this. And I felt very odd. I felt like I was pretending. It was a nice character to play for a while, but I was a bit like, oh, God.
I think it's the beautiful, you know, those very tall people.
Absolutely.
Who can, let's face it, wear anything, and then they can just carry it off, can't they? Whereas other people think, why? What's she done? Now what?
I did try it, and I just thought, no, this isn't for me. I think I might be a bit too old for it, but I think I see people in their early 20s wearing it, and I'm just like, yeah, it's a statement. It's another way of dressing. Like, it's pretty cool, but I've then got an issue with them people paying 25 quid for a shapeless grey t-shirt in an unnamed high street shop. That's the bit that I don't like about it. I think any look, if you can, like, achieve it on very little and you don't feel the pressure to spend loads of money to achieve it, that's cool. But if you're spending loads of money to buy, like, super basic clothing,
something you could have got from a charity shop,
I think that then I have a little bit less respect for the look.
Because it's funny now, like, you know, the older you get, like, I've always been into vintage. Mm-hmm. Before it was kind of trendy, and I just used to look a bit odd and weird. But now, obviously, it's a thing, isn't it? It's mm-hmm. a big thing. And so I'm still kind of in that mode. But the older you get, the more you just look like a kind of old lady in old clothes. And you think, no, I can't.
I don't know. I kind of understand what you mean. But I think the good thing about vintage is that it's obviously decades and decades worth of styles. And even within that decade, you would have multiple different styles and different looks. I think people don't look right when they're trying to achieve something that they're uncomfortable with.
That's
when
true.
People don't look right. I think everybody can wear anything.
Yeah.
But if you are wearing something you don't feel right in, it shows so much.
But I just want to say to people, you know, I am wearing this because it's slightly ironic. It's not because I've had this in my wardrobe all my life. And please understand this. I found some stuff of my mother's, and there was a gorgeous 50s summer frock.
Wow.
And I thought, oh, that's lovely. You know, perhaps Mum wouldn't mind if I kind of liberated that from her wardrobe. And got it all washed, pressed, put it on, didn't go anywhere near me. So then I had to give it to my mum. So she's wandering around 90 in her original.
That's
90.
Amazing.
Yeah, and she's just working the look. Just looks fabulous in it, and knows it, you know. Just think, great, good for you, Mum.
Absolutely.
You know, that is just brilliant. Lovely. So we've spoken a lot about your look, which is key. It's as much part of your act as your music. Mm-hmm. But after the break, I'd like, you know, obviously like to hear some of your work and talk more about your heavily involved in youth work as well, aren't you?
Yes, yep. I work with young people across the island as well as the day job.
So, after the break. So stay tuned for more from Laura, one half, the unbearded half of the Ventler Darlings, when we'll be hearing her music and talking about her work with young people and how she shares her love of music with them. Okay, thanks for listening. Stay tuned.